Welcome to CWC Dive Deep. Thanks for joining us today as we take a deeper look into this past week's sermon discussing how to pursue God and grow in our faith. And we're so glad to have you here, whether you're joining us in the car, in the gym, or as part of your small group. Join us this week as we talk with Pastor Arley. Welcome, Pastor Arley.
Now, if you're not in the car or the gym or in a small group, are you still welcome here?
We're not exclusive at all. Yes, you are still welcome.
Okay, thank you. It's good to be here.
You could be joining us from anywhere.
All right.
We're glad to have you here on today's episode. So we concluded our series Jonah this past week. And it's been four really insightful weeks of looking at the character, especially of Jonah.
Thank you.
And I'm curious, what are kind of your takeaways from this series and from this past week?
I really think that the story of Jonah is just like Noah and the Ark. It's like one of those children's storybook kind of stories that are given. And so we almost see Jonah as a cartoon character. And so I guess my hope and goal was to really present him as someone that we could relate to, at least in some aspects, hopefully not all, but in some aspects that we could actually relate to him. And so I heard a lot of people saying that kind of thing. So that was kind of really encouraging to me. I guess I personally feel like I know the character and the person a whole lot better as well in my own personal study and pursuit.
Yeah, it's so interesting because as a child you hear this story and, oh, he is obedient. He does turn around. He does go to Nineveh. Yay. Yeah. And when we study him now, it's kind of like, wow, he didn't have the greatest response.
No.
Jonah really wasn't all that heroic, was he?
No, I wouldn't really call him a hero at all.
Yeah. Almost like a reluctant, you know, main character, really. Not even a protagonist.
Right. Right. I guess, you know, when I look at like, okay, why did God choose him to do this?
Right.
You know, why was he the chosen prophet to be delivering this message? And certainly God had a very specific plan in choosing him. But as I look through scripture, I think there are different personalities, different characters that God uses probably to help all of us relate even better to the humanity of each of these characters and maybe see ourselves and see how God can work through us.
Right. If nothing else, I've taken away that he uses anybody
a worm.
He decides. Yeah, right?
Yeah.
And it's actually kind of interesting because the story ends so abruptly.
Mm-hmm.
You're just hanging out outside Nineveh. What do they say or what can we kind of imagine happened to Jonah afterwards?
Well, it seems like the scholars really believe that because of Jonah's silence at the end, he doesn't respond, you know, when God kind of puts this out, that Jonah finally gets it.
Hmm.
And so he finally is like, okay, I get it. That's what I'm supposed to do. Now, we don't hear him crying out in repentance or,
Which is curious, sorrow.
You know, whatever to project that he does, but there's a silence. And so it's believed by most of the writers that that would indicate Jonah's understanding that finally he gets it.
Hmm. And so we don't really see him actively ask God for forgiveness for the way he's acted.
Hmm. No.
And I know within the message yesterday, you talked about how, you know, if we want to be forgiven, we need to forgive others.
Sure, sure.
I just wonder if Jonah ever actually sought that if he was ever really asking for it.
I would certainly hope so.
Right.
You know, I always think that it's really interesting. So many people in our particular time period in our generation are trying to take our present values and place them in other time periods and other cultures. And it doesn't work. Mm. It doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were just discussing with some friends about how we grew up. And this is no criticism or anything. And so I'm not trying to make this heard in that way. But with pets, you know, when we grew up, You know, there was a very different mindset. And what people will do for their pets today, my parents didn't even do for us as kids. I mean, my dad.
Oh, I know.
My dad would never take us to the doctor. I mean, you know, but a pet goes to the vet all the time.
Right.
It's just a very different culture. Yes. That didn't make my dad a bad person.
No.
It was just a different mindset and culture existed. I mean, you saw dogs tied to chains to dog houses. They don't do that anymore.
Right.
I mean, it's just, so when we take our present mindset and culture and try to plug it into a Jewish culture that is trying to reach out to a very evil Gentile people, I don't think we fully grasp everything that's there. So I think there's a great importance of understanding that all of these things change radically over time.
Yeah, and especially, I think it's interesting, Jonah was the instrument of salvation for the enemies of the Jews.
Yes.
I wonder if he, by choosing to be obedient, struggled with maybe perceiving that he couldn't forgive himself for being the friend to the enemy, if that makes sense.
Well,
some internal conflict.
It would have been a very, like, low level kind of position to be a missionary to Gentiles. Like, this is like to dogs, as they considered. And so his whole mission work would have been not really respected or appreciated.
Yeah.
And so you're not going to, I mean, people are going to pat you on the back when you come back and say, guess what I just did? Mm. We had a revival in Nineveh.
You mean you saved them?
you mean
save them?
They're going to live?
Oh.
And so, you know, like when we try to understand all that, like there's just got to be a different kind of perspective. And so our takeaway can't be as black and white as we'd like to make it.
Right.
And I think that's what's really important. It helps all of us to not be so judgmental, because I think we have a very black and white mindset about so many things. And scripture is clear. I'm not trying to, you know, gray everything, but it's clear. But there is a whole lot of differences that are, you know, can be perceived and all of that.
So yeah.
Important.
And I wonder how his culture would have treated him during that time. It's just interesting. I mean, Jonah ends up being obedient to God, doing something that the culture would have said was way outside of social mores. I wonder how that parallels to today and what we're called to
and
do.
And God called him to do this.
Right.
He called him to really, it would be like calling us to be missionaries to ISIS.
Right.
I mean.
Yeah, aren't they the enemy?
Yeah. And so, like, when you think about that, like, okay, like, and so you were able to win somebody over, but there's so much evil in the world, and shouldn't they have to pay for that evil? And we would just go on and on. Mm-hmm. So I guess there's just such an importance of understanding God's love goes beyond just nice people.
Right. And if you look at, you know, any spectrum that exists, whether it's political or societal or cultural, you know, there's extremes on both ends. And it's, you know, God loves everybody from one end to the other. Mm-hmm. And for those of us that are called maybe to minister to people on either end, you know, wow, I see backlash for Christians that are simply being kind to some of these people. And it really blows my mind. But that feels very much like what we're seeing here with Jonah. So what does happen to Nineveh?
Well, obviously this repents, but 150 years later it is destroyed.
Not so good.
So did that last that long, that kind of transformation that happened? I don't know how many generations. Makes you very curious to understand, like, the history. So how long did that impact, did that revival impact the culture?
Right. And I know Pastor Ken was talking with us this morning, just mentioning they're studying Isaiah, which would have been a couple of generations just after Jonah, saying that the Assyrians were already starting to really get back on the warpath and falling from kind of that change that they had already. But it's just so interesting that we're so quick to forget. And we see it in the Israelite history, though. A couple generations later, and they've completely forgotten the miracles of God.
Exactly.
You know, but I guess we're really not all that different, are we?
Well, they always say Christianity is one generation from extinction. So, you know, that's why it's so important that we would keep equipping the next generation so that, you know, the word of God could continue.
Right. Yeah, it makes it all the more important. Now, a bit of a theological thought here for you. So the question was raised that if God changed his mind, how can his plans be perfect?
And?
So what are your thoughts? I mean, it's such a staggering thing to think about, because obviously God knows everything.
Yes, and he's from beginning to end, and he is already in the future. And so he's timeless.
Right.
And so as we would understand all of that, I mean, in the limited ability that we have to understand it, we would certainly understand in the foreknowledge of God. Pastor Ryan cited on Sunday morning kind of something I'd shared at one point earlier, that it's kind of like God is looking at a parade and he can see from the beginning to the end, you know, looking down on it. He's not in the midst of it, but he's above it, and he's in that context. So that's really how he sees all things that are happening. He knows beginning from end. And so to really understand where he is operating, it's not in the sense of predestination that he's making it happen, but he is watching and he knows what's going to happen. And that's how we would, you know, refer to as foreknowledge. Mm-hmm. You know, God knows ahead before all that. Obviously, God is perfect, and all that he does is perfect. Mm-hmm. And so I think probably in our limited ability to say what happened, I think our translation is probably weak in the sense that we would say God changed his mind. Mm-hmm. I think he changed the direction he was going to go based on the response of the people. Mm-hmm. And did he know that ahead of time? Of course he did. He knows all things.
Right.
But I think he operated in that context in that way.
Yeah, and it's interesting because ultimately he would destroy it, which was his plan from the beginning. Mm-hmm. So it was destroyed. He would use it as an instrument, actually, to annihilate the Northern Kingdom. Mm. But when we think about it in terms of God's sovereign will, his permissive will, and our free will, I mean, obviously, having free will, we have to be able to choose. So yeah, there's some kind of balance to this. It's not just God sets it in place and it's done.
And I think that's where foreknowledge logically works together with free will and understanding that God knows ahead, but he doesn't like command it, but he is involved in it, and he does give us the opportunity of choosing and responding.
Right.
So.
Because, I mean, there's other examples in Scripture where individuals have petitioned God and he has done something.
Extended their life.
Right.
Stopped the sun.
Saved someone, yeah.
I mean, there's all kinds of things that God has intervened into a very miraculous way of change. And did he know that he was going to do that from the beginning?
Right.
Of course he did.
Yeah, but we didn't.
And so we're not even sure how to express it.
Right.
Because it goes beyond what we can be able to explain.
Yeah. And so the best maybe we can come up with is, I guess he changed his mind.
Yeah.
Just write that down.
We'll make it more human in our understanding.
Yeah. It's definitely a topic that is just so deep. And I think the more you begin to explore it, the more you expand your thinking about God, the healthier it is for you. Because, I mean, it should be confusing when we think about God. Mm-hmm. And it should stagger our imagination.
Beyond our ability to think, because we're finite and he's infinite. So,
right. You
know, that's the whole complexity of it all.
Yeah, and I think I would challenge small groups, go ahead, get a whiteboard, and start drawing out the pattern of choices and how it works. That's a good exercise, right?
Yeah.
Now, there's one last thing that I wanted to talk about. When you were explaining that we need to be praying for people that are outside of our circles, for those that we don't normally think about, for enemies, in fact.
Yeah, I think that our prayer lives, you know, are so limited to the ones that both we love and or in our friend's circle or even our church circle, where I think God is really calling us to go way past that. And obviously praying for our enemies. Is that something that is like regular in your thoughts? Like maybe if I encounter an enemy, I would pray for him, but like do I think about that? No, I really don't a lot. It doesn't come to my mind. Even praying for our leadership and our president. I mean, we're told to do that through scripture very clearly. And when we face a crisis or a problem or a circumstance, then maybe we think more. But there's a great importance of expanding our prayer life beyond just those that we love and the concerns that they carry.
And I would wonder what the content of those prayers are for most people. You know, is it, Lord, do what's necessary to turn them to you? Or are you praying, you know, gentleness and love and compassion for them and on their behalf?
Yeah.
And I think it changes us too when we pray that way for people that we don't know.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of things that kind of reveal more about ourselves in our prayer life and in our responses and reactions to things.
Yeah. Well, what challenge would you like to leave listeners with this week as we wrap up the series, Jonah?
Sure. I think the closing of Jonah was kind of a sad commentary, but it was more self-revealing to him. And that we need to look beyond just the immediate or what's right in front of us, but we need to make sure we're keeping focused on the big picture. What is God doing? And sometimes we're just overwhelmed by our own pain or our own problems or the crisis that we're facing now. But I think amidst all of that, we've got to say, what's the bigger picture that God is trying to accomplish? Mm. And when Jonah could get past that, and that's why God said, like a plant, really, Jonah, you're like upset about that? How about thinking about people? Mm. How about thinking about the bigger picture? Mm-hmm. Because that's what I really care about. I gave my life for that. Mm. And I think when we think about that ourselves, we can get beyond our immediate crisis that we seem to be facing and then think about God's got bigger stuff that he's working on.
Thanks for joining us today, Pastor Arley.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
And thanks for joining us today on CWC Dive Deep. I hope you were encouraged today. Join us next Monday as we begin our new series, Who Cares? God's Wake Up Call, a study from the book of Malachi. And if you missed last week's episode, you can access that online at cwc.life, where we provide you with sermon notes, weekly study material, and other great messages to dive into. Have a great week.